In part one of the 48 Way of Purity, we talked about intellectual purity, learning to focus your mind. Part two deals with something even more difficult, learning to focus your emotions. Emotions are a key part of a human being. Rav Noach's brother, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg of blessed memory, the Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Israel in Baltimore, said, "You cannot trust emotions. You must always judge emotions. But you cannot fulfill yourself as a human being without emotions. Reason cannot motivate. It is sterile. Emotions motivate. But reason must act as a measuring rod to judge your emotions, whether they are appropriate or not. This is what Torah and divine service are all about. But emotions often seem to us to be out of our control. We feel what we feel. What can we do about it? The first step in directing emotions, as we've mentioned before, is to know what perceptions cause us to feel different emotions. Thinking something wrong is being done causes us to feel angry, so we can work on anger by realizing the wrong was unintentional or excusable. Anticipating great things in the future causes us to feel joy, so we can raise our level of joy by focusing on what we can expect. But when we are feeling emotions, we can have difficulty knowing what to do with them. A person can be intellectually scattered, having many thoughts at once, as we said in part one, but we can be emotionally scattered as well, having many different emotions at the same time. For example, when you wake up in the morning, you feel tired. You feel worried about the way things are going at your job. You miss your best friend who moved to Israel. But you're excited at the fact that you have tickets to the cricket game later. And you are curious about what your teacher will say at the Torah class tonight. You're worried about your persistent health problems, but interested to get up and check what might have happened in the world last night. And all these are happening at the same time. The emotion you feel most strongly will often decide how the day goes. If the positive emotions predominate, you say a warm good morning to your spouse and kids, and you go forth into the day with renewed energy. If worry or other negative emotions predominate, you act tense with your spouse and kids and drag yourself through the day. It is obvious that happiness and positiveness are a better response. But if emotions are happenings out of your control, you can't do anything about it. What you feel is what you feel. The second part of Bitara, emotional purity, teaches that you don't have to leave it to chance. Just like you can choose your thoughts, you can choose your emotions. This is the basis of secular philosophies like neurolinguistic programming and the power of positive thinking. How do you do that? You need to realize that just like you have the ability to control your hand and your mind, you can control your emotions. When do we see that? A doctor was involved in serious surgery, focuses his emotions on doing a successful job and helping his patient. What if he thought, "I'm hurting this person, I'm causing him to bleed"? Or he was worried about making a mistake and getting a malpractice suit. Or he was distracted by the argument he had with his wife that morning. In the same way, a mother whose child is having a temper tantrum can say to herself, "I am keeping calm." Someone who is late to an important meeting because of an unforeseen traffic jam can still say, "Let me just concentrate on driving safely." When the stakes are high enough, we pull the switch to use the emotion that is most productive. Practice in your daily life choosing the most productive emotion. Joy when you wake up, say Moda Ani. Love with your spouse, patience with your children. Excitement when you're learning something new. It isn't easy to do, but if you work on it, you can grow in control. You don't know how your hand listens to you, but it does. You don't know how your mind listens to you, but you can train it. Your emotions can be trained also, it's just harder. Once you've controlled your emotions, you can work on deepening them. That's what they do in the fire walk. Shout enough times, "I can do it," and you actually can. Tell yourself, "This is really interesting," when you're learning. Or, "I can concentrate," when you're davening. The rabbis say that when the Torah says, "When a man dies in a tent," it is hinting to the study of Torah. When you are learning Torah, strengthen both your mental concentration and your emotional desire to learn. Shut out the world as if you were dead to it. The Rambam teaches about love of God. What is the love of God that is fitting? It is to love the Almighty with a great, exceeding, mighty, very fierce love, so that his soul is tied to the love of God, and he finds himself thinking about it always, like a person who is sick with love. Choosing carefully his words, he is giving stepping stones to deepening emotions. Great, to exceeding, to mighty, to fierce, to very fierce, to being sick with love. That is what we're supposed to be working on. Listen to Jewish motivational speakers. Listen to Jewish music when they're singing songs based on Tehillim. If you know what the words mean and connect them to the music, you can deepen your love of God. The Almighty gave us powerful tools. Maybe we're able to use them to focus ourselves on what we really want to accomplish in life.